You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
This is Title Town Sound.
Prepare yourself for overwhelming intelligence.
He's going to look like Gronk riding a unicorn carrying a lightsaber.
I know how toast works.
Clay Matthews, squirrel whisperer.
Your squirrel naming game is not strong.
The turd cheeseburger could come back.
If one of us wants to pee on it, sure.
I'm not bailing you out on that.
I was acting unprofessionally.
I'm just here to ruin things.
Pendletown Sound, episode number 84, the Bill Schrader edition of the show, brought to you by Mountain Dew, because I really need it at this point in the week. Oh, it's been a long one. Coming to you after working the polls on Tuesday, I'll let you make of that what you will, it is I, Bobo. Coming to you straight from the horse's mouth, it's Chris Christofko. Chris, how you doing?
Just want to make sure that everybody knows Mountain Dew is in no way affiliated with this show, and their lawyers can stop writing those cease and desists right now.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have been the one to start talking about it, because I'm not the spokesman they're looking for. Maybe the spokesman that they need, though. Coming to you straight out of Compton, it's James Corsmo. James, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, and I would like to remind the people that the polls the Bobo is referring to are neither people from a nation in Europe nor tools for single-dollar bill making.
Allegedly. Coming to you straight out of the land of the cactus wren, it's Jeremy Vanderlinden. Jeremy, how are you doing?
Bobo, you never cease to amaze me. The beginning of the show could not have been better.
I try to amuse, confuse, and annoy whenever possible. And coming to you straight from Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee, holy crap, it's Bart Winkler. Bart, welcome to the show.
Is this the rehearsal or is this the real actual show? This is very entertaining.
We're never actually really sure.
What's a rehearsal?
What's up, guys? Good to be here. good to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
Glad to have you. And coming up on this edition of Title Town Sound, we'll be talking kittens and puppies and cute little baby ducks. But first things first, let's talk about the game that was the Indianapolis Colts at the Green Bay Packers. Because I guess we have to talk about it because it's a Packer podcast. I don't know how much we really want to, but we're going to go into it. We're gonna maintain our focus here. We got to talk about Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy again. Rodgers kind of called out the energy of the team not being right. Mike McCarthy, maybe front office is kind of wondering, you know, should Mike McCarthy be around past this season? It seems like he's maybe losing the locker room. And I guess I'm sort of leaving an open-ended question here. And Bart, since you're the guest, we're going to let you talk first. Do you think the front office is really questioning if Mike McCarthy should coach beyond this season?
With this front office, I don't know, man. I mean, I think the general rule for me is that if Mike McCarthy doesn't get this team to the playoffs, he would be fired if he was the coach for 31 teams in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers not being that one, because with Ted Thompson, I don't understand. He's very methodical. We know that. He takes his time on decisions. If he decides that – it's like light years. It's like sending sound signals through space. I mean, we could all see that there's a problem, but Ted won't get that frequency until like a year and a half later. So I don't know what the situation there is. It would seem – if they don't make the playoffs, I would be calling for a change just because – you got to make the playoffs. You're the Green Bay Packers. You've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks 25 years. You got to make the playoffs. I mean, we're talking in the middle of the season about the chance they don't make the playoffs. And the storyline this week was, does this team have enough energy? Do they care? I mean, what is happening? This is the Packers. These guys are the odds on favorites, or at least top two. This is a team that should not be playing as bad as they are. And if they don't make the playoffs, you would have to think something would change. But in Green Bay, man, I don't know if that's how they operate.
All right, Jeremy, your thoughts.
I'm going to say, I mean, we've talked about it a few times on this show that we think that maybe it's time to move on. And not because Mike McCarthy isn't a good coach, and I think we're all in agreement that he is a good coach. He'll probably succeed somewhere else and do quite well. But his time in Green Bay, I think, is up. It's over. You have a team talking about energy in the middle of the season. I mean, it's embarrassing that you're playing football. Like, where could your energy possibly be? And as a coach, isn't it the coach's job to be the one to drum up that energy and get that going before a game?
And this isn't like the Browns, who are, you know, this is like the Browns in week 11, and they're like, you know, right. They've got two wins, and there's no, and you're like, yeah, I don't blame them for not having energy. They suck. Why do they, you know, why even bother? No, this is a team that could have pulled to within a tie for the division if they had just come out there with a little bit of fire against a really awful team at home.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is going to happen is I think Ted Thompson is going to retire. I don't think he's ever going to be fired. Ted Thompson will finish his career here, but I think the end is either this year or the year after. With the way that this season is going, if it continues to be a downward trend, I wouldn't be surprised to see him retire. And then, you know, Elliott Wolf maybe take over, and he decides to make a move on, keep McCarthy, find a new coach. And I would hope that Elliott Wolf would want to start fresh with his own guy. I've loved Mike McCarthy since he's been here. He's been fantastic for the Packers. I just think it's kind of at that point now where it's like, okay, crap or get off the pot, fix this issue, or we got to make a change. And it's been too long.
All right, James, your thoughts.
Mike McCarthy is like an old pair of pants.
I like where this is going.
All right.
Here we go. All right. Strap in.
It's always good when I start the show off with an analogy, but you buy the pair of pants and they're comfortable and you wear them a lot. And sometimes you don't even wash them because they're so comfortable and they're not dirty. You just wear them for a week straight. And then after a couple of years, some seams start to pop and things start to droop and things just aren't holding up the way they should anymore. And now your pair of pants are, you give them away to Goodwill. And I think we're rapidly approaching the time where we put Mike McCarthy in a basket, mark it with a little sign that says, you know, free to good home, and ship him off. My patience with Mike McCarthy is very, very thin, unlike my waistline, hence the pants.
So basically you're saying we should send Mike McCarthy to the Cleveland Browns.
Yes. And I'm honestly, all humor aside, if the Packers were to fire Mike McCarthy right now, in about 15 minutes, he would have a job at about 10 other teams. There's no question about it. He's a great coach.
I don't think you can coach 10 other teams at the same time.
Shut up. Stop with the math. I'm on a roll. Don't get in my way.
No, I'm kidding. All right. Chris, any other thoughts you want to throw in on the subject?
No.
All right, then.
No, I really do think McCarthy's time has passed, and I've said it a million times. I got nothing else.
So what? Hey, what do you guys? If he, I mean, what we've had this question come up. What does he have to do to keep his job then? Because we had a poll out, and like 20% of the people, and it's a Twitter poll, so you know, whatever. But still, 20% of the people said, even if he wins the Super Bowl, he should not be the coach of this team anymore.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right.
No, here's the thing. I think the reality is, like you suggested, if they make the playoffs, because we're so averse to making drastic change, even when that change isn't that drastic, that the Packers organization won't get rid of him. They won't. If they don't make the playoffs, I think that what happens is, that Thompson may resign or, you know, a mutual separation. And then McCarthy goes because the GM's going to be changed and they kind of start the process over again. But if they make the playoffs, I think he's back. I mean, for me, they would have to catch fire and show some heart at the end of the season and be kind of like, NFC championship game. But I don't know.
I think the only way that he is gone, if they make the playoffs, the only way that he's gone at that point is if Ted Thompson decides to retire and Elliott Wolf decides he wants to find his own guy. That's the only way. If they make the playoffs and Ted Thompson's still around next year, Mike McCarthy's still around next year.
Yeah, I think if the Packers make the Super Bowl, the team is going to be looking good enough that I would probably drop any issues I've got with McCarthy at this point. So, James, you got...
So, Super Bowl or bust?
We've seen him go to the NFC Championship game. We've seen him blow a 16-point lead in 4 minutes. That time is over. It's either, for me, it's either Super Bowl or nothing. Super Bowl or Sia, because he's done everything else. And he's had opportunity after opportunity, and it's been excuse after injury after this and that. No. At some point, you just have to say, look, you're just not cut out for this anymore. Hit the road. And unless they win the Super Bowl, that's pretty much where I'm at with him.
If they don't make a drastic shift in their offense, if there's no drastic change in their offense and they make the playoffs, I will be very disappointed if he's around the next year. There has to be, still for me, I really want to see a big change in what's going on with the offense and them making the playoffs for him to stick around.
All right, moving on to our next subject. I'm going to do my best soap opera announcer voice for this. Will Aaron Rodgers ever really learn to trust Jeff Janis?
Wait, we're actually talking Janis?
We are.
We're talking Janis.
I only call him Jeff now, so you got to refer to him as Jeff. He lost his Janis privileges.
Can I call him Jeffrey Ronald?
Dude,
I don't
that ball he dropped. Get him off the team. I love Janis more than anybody, but there was 17-10 against the Colts. It was right in his face. Like, it was right in his face.
Like, literally.
It hit him in the face.
Yeah.
The ball was in Marsha Brady's face, too, and she didn't catch the ball.
Yeah, and is she on the Packers right now? No.
No, she's not.
Well, she'd be retired by now.
I bet she knows how to run a skinny post better than Jeff does.
We did not expect this segment to go so negative.
It's the only route he knows how to run. It's like, this is your moment to shine, bro. And the ball hits you in the face, and that's all you can do.
It's like I said in the recap this week, Jeff Janis is on the team for two reasons. To tackle people on special teams, and to run straight and catch the ball and run fast. And he did none of them.
None of them. Jeff Janis, I don't think that he will ever hit what people think he's going to hit. I don't think he will ever be able to catch the ball over his shoulder. It's something that he has shown to struggle with since he's been in Green Bay. It's not going to change. And Aaron Rodgers isn't going to trust him. You heard Rodgers in that press conference early in the season, a couple weeks ago, that Jeff still catching the ball with his body and, you know, kind of made that snide remark at the end, like, well, Jeff, you know, Jeff says as long as you catch it, so I guess there's that. You know, like, Aaron Rodgers is never going to like or trust Jeff Janis. It's never going to happen.
All right. Chris, do you think Jeff Janis can get Rodgers' trust?
No.
Parentheses back.
No, but like, in my mind, there's, like, you know, Janis is, like, you know, approaching Rodgers, like, you trust me yet, buddy? Like, no? You know, like, I feel like he just wants approval, and the poor guy. But I just wonder how little football sense can he have that at this point he still doesn't know how to run routes and he still has trouble, you know, with the most basic parts of the game. I, as you gentlemen know, have not exactly been on the Janis train from the beginning, and I think he's overhyped. He's a fast guy, and that's about it. I don't think he'll ever gain the trust, and especially when you drop a sure touchdown in a situation, or you know, at least a huge gain in a situation like that. It could be 4 weeks before Rodgers looks your way again. You know, he may not get the opportunity again.
James, I'm looking your way. Can Rodgers ever trust Janis again?
No. What the? No. No. Bad. No. Jeff Janis is so bad at football. He's the Mike McCarthy of wide receivers. He is just terrible.
Wait. You can't really say that. I mean, Mike
so
McCarthy
if Jeff Janis got cut, he could be signed by 10 other teams right away? Is that what
you're saying? Yes, practice squads. Look it up. No.
Thank you, Mark.
Okay, fine. Jeff Janis is awful and terrible and everything that's wrong with football. And he makes me very angry. I see, I'm angry now. If you saw, I'm red. Look at my face is red. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm not talking to James anymore. Bart, what I'm really wondering now is, after this segment of the show, how does Jeff Janis win back your trust?
Look, Jeff Janis has been... I met the dude. He's a nice guy. But he's been a prop of mine on the radio for a year and a half. I don't think he's good. Did you see him catch that? No, you didn't see him catch that football because he didn't. We were just riding the Janis wave, and it went on too long, and then the Hail Mary happened, and no one expected it. Janis is like the Donald Trump of the Green Bay Packers is what he is.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Only idiots like him and think he's good. And the hype took over.
He appeals to the white fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this is just trouble.
Oh, man.
Oh, I need to
know. For those of you who don't voted for Donald Trump, please don't turn off the show.
Let's move on, shall we?
Sorry, I've been a long week.
Trust me, I understand. I was hitting those polls pretty hard. Moving on to the next subject, Aaron Ripkowski, Pro Bowl or not? James?
Yeah. Honestly, we all know that I'm obsessed with him. I like the guy a lot. He's my Janis, I guess you could say. But if, just from a logistical and just the way that he has played this year, absolutely, as a fullback, for sure. Because, number one, who else is there? And number two, he's Aaron Ripkowski. That's it. And he has a sweet
solid
beard.
Logic. All right. Chris, Pro Bowl or not?
So if you can't tell, we're pandering to your possible interests, Bart. But I want to point out that numerically it just makes sense that Ripkowski will make the Pro Bowl because there's like 9 fullbacks in the league, and the Packers now have 2 on their roster. But no, we did kind of jump on the Ripkowski train, the Ripper train, before the season even started, and it was kind of a goof to start, but he has shown that he's actually been a contributor. I mean, the guy's hard to bring down as a runner. I'm excited that when they hand it to the fullback, it's not just 1 yard and a cloud of dust, that he can actually move a pile and get a couple of yards. And on special teams, he looks like he's been pretty effective. I think he's going to be a part of this team for a long time, and I've been really actually impressed despite kind of starting it as a novelty. I've been impressed with the way that he's been playing, and I think it's a real legitimate possibility that he could make the Pro Bowl.
Jeremy, we know your answer, but do you want to go ahead and vocalize it for us?
So I'm going to go in the Wayback Machine. Last year, before we ever saw a snap of Aaron Ripkowski playing football, I was on the Aaron Ripkowski train because, first of all, it's not that I hated John Kuhn. I loved John Kuhn. I hated John Kuhn fans. So there's that. I was ready for the Kuhn chant to go away forever. But last year I predicted that John Kuhn wouldn't make the team and that Ripkowski would get his spot in his rookie season. That didn't happen. However, this year my bold prediction was that Aaron Ripkowski will make the Pro Bowl. I still believe that that could happen. I think that he is on a really good path to make that happen. And like Chris said, there's no fullbacks in the league worth mentioning. So all it's going to take is a few more of those plays that he's been putting out there for the rest of the country to start to notice, because he's a fullback. Not a lot of fullbacks do that stuff, but he's a tank, man. You can't take him down. Like, he doesn't go down because you're tackling him. He goes down because he's afraid to drop the football. Like, he chooses to be done. Like, okay, I'm done now. Aaron Ripkowski is a monster. I think he should be talked about for the Pro Bowl this year. Absolutely.
All right. Thankfully, we're through you guys talking about Ripkowski. Now, Bart, I have to ask you, Aaron Ripkowski, Pro Bowl or not?
No, because I think that Mike Allstott's name is still on there, right?
Mike Allstott.
Isn't he the only fullback that can ever make the Pro Bowl? Isn't that the rules of the Allstott? Isn't that how this works? I don't think – what other fullbacks are there? Who else
exactly.
is a fullback in the NFC?
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, honestly, is he the only one? No. Joe Carriage. Joe Carriage is the other one. Yes. The guy they signed off the practice squad.
Good.
Hey, all it takes for a fullback to make the Pro Bowl is to be a fullback, and make a few plays. That's it. And then you're in the program.
On the roster.
So,
that's really
important. Yeah, you got to have name recognition, which, I mean, for other fullbacks, if I can't sit here and name one off the top of my head, the only other guy I can name is that Jay Jujuju guy from Baltimore. Who's another fullback? Like, not just in the NFC.
I mean, John Kuhn is still in the league.
Kuhn? Oh, yeah, well, Kuhn will make it. Kuhn will make it then.
Right, and Kuhn is in the NFC, so Kuhn will probably make it on me.
His three touchdown game cemented his Pro Bowl spot.
Snap. And but that's the thing. He's in the NFC. He's going to take Aaron Ripkowski's Pro Bowl spot.
Oh, I'm going to be so pissed. I'm going to be so mad.
Oh, yeah, it's totally Kuhn.
Damn it.
I
hate it so much.
Oh, I do too, man. I hate it so much. Kuhn, what an idiot.
All right. It's third and one. We're going to hand to John Kuhn so he can lose 2 yards. Like it's, and then everybody's going to chant Kuhn anyways because we didn't need that 1 yard. Let's give him 2 yards and punt the football. I love John Kuhn. I hate John Kuhn fans. I hate him so much.
I have a John Kuhn jersey. Do you hate me?
Yes. Did you ever chant Kuhn as he was losing yards?
Probably.
Did you ever chant John Kuhn when anyone white touched the football? That's the question.
No, I never chanted Kuhn ever. It never happened. But I believe there are some of us on this show that probably did.
All right. On that note, I would just like to say I think Ripkowski could make the Pro Bowl because there's going to be about 70 players that are going to turn down their invitations. They're going to need somebody at some point. So process of elimination, Ripkowski gets in. Possibly Jeff Janis, too.
Oh, God.
They Dude. Might get blown up on the list. And then nobody will watch at all.
If Jeff Janis makes the Pro Bowl, I will shave my head on live video or something, but that'll never happen. I will not let it happen.
Like ever or just this year? You're talking ever?
I'll give it a 3-year window.
I'll give it a 30-year window.
Jeff Janis.
You should say Jeff Janis ever goes to a Pro Bowl. He's not going to buy a ticket. He doesn't even know how to get there. You think he knows how to follow a map?
That's right in the middle of hunting season. He's not going anywhere.
Right. He'll do that too. He can't run a route. He can't follow a map. That's what I'm saying right now. Jeff Janis is a guy who prints out MapQuest off the internet and then puts it on his car window upside down and ends up in a lake on his way to the grocery store. Oh, I found the fish section at least.
Oh,
what I'm saying is he's dumb, is what I'm saying. He's dumb. I love him, but he is dumb.
So if you did that Venn diagram right now with Trump fans in one circle and Janis fans in another circle, where it intersects, we've just lost all those listeners. They're gone.
Yeah. That's all right. They'll come around again. They don't know better.
No, it doesn't matter. Those aren't the people we want listening anyways.
I would like to apologize to Jeff Janis' family who said they were going to be tuning into this week's show. I didn't know. And on that note, let's go on to the Twitter questions. You can tweet at us any old time you want, at TitletownSound. And we got a handful of questions here. A couple of questions kind of along the same lines. At Hobosita asked, will the Packers ever be the same as they were a few years ago? And our friend Jay also asked, what will it take to make the Packers great again? And Bart, I'm going to throw those questions to you first. What will it make? Will the Packers ever be the same as they were a few years ago?
I don't know.
Pre-Jeff Janis, let's say.
Yeah, that's what ruined everything. It's so tough with these Packers. So right now, they're 4-4, and it is really I always tell people not to bring up the 2010 comparison, but I always say, guys, don't bring up the 2010 comparison. But so I'm always the one that's really bringing it up because you think back to 2010 and they were 4-4 and they lost some tough games at home and you thought it was over. And then they went on this ridiculous run and they needed help to get in. They needed Deshaun Jackson to take a punt return against the Giants in a game that they had no part of. And then Rodgers got hurt late and injuries still happen. So because of that, and I know it's a different team, I know it's half a decade ago, but it's just really hard. The hardest thing as a Packer fan is the realization that these aren't the Packers that you're used to watching. These aren't the Packers that can bring in a struggling Colts team to Lambeau and just roll over them or even get a victory. This is a Packer team that could, if they lose to Tennessee, which is not a given that they win at all, but we're all going to take them to win because they're the, you know, it's not a given to win. The Titans are a good team. They're playing just as good as the Packers are, but everyone will take the Packers to win. And if you don't, you know, even if you believe it, you won't do it because it's the Packers. We're used to seeing them play well. So that's been a tough realization to get back to where they were. Man, I think it comes down to, and it comes down to Aaron Rodgers. I know maybe the receivers aren't getting open all the time. Maybe there's injuries, but there have been enough cases and there's enough video and there's enough that you can tangibly see where Aaron Rodgers is missing throws, overthrowing the guys, not going to his second guy. He's getting out of the pocket immediately. It's like he can't just stay in the pocket one time and go through your progressions. You have time. You don't always have to run, but maybe being good got boring for him. I don't know. It is going to come on Aaron Rodgers, sure. Sometimes he'll have a beautifully thrown ball, and it will hit Jeff Janis square in the face. But it comes to Aaron Rodgers, and if he doesn't play like the 2013, 2011 version of himself, then the Packers won't be the 2011, 2010 version of their self. So they can build together a team all they want, but it all comes to Aaron Rodgers for me.
All right, James, your thoughts.
In terms of putting together a magical run like they did in 2010, anything is possible, I suppose. I mean, the pieces need to fall into place. Is it probable, though? No. I honestly, I feel different about this team now than I did in 2010, probably because my expectations were a lot higher coming into the season. I don't think that. I think we're better. We're better to just move on and look to, okay, what can the 2014 Packers get done moving into 2016 Packers get done moving into 17? Instead of, you know, we don't have Nick Collins coming back. We don't have, you know, a lot of the players we had back then. So it does come down to Aaron Rodgers, though. He needs to stop being so inconsistent and actually play the way that he's supposed to play. And who knows, maybe we'll go on a ride, but I wouldn't count on it at this point.
All right, Chris.
No, we're not going to see that same team unless they change the coaching staff. Yes, it's on Rodgers, but at this point I think he's not responding to what the coaches are doing. I don't think he believes in this offense. And unless there's a drastic change, and we know McCarthy's not going to do that, I don't know that he's going to buy back in and play with the same confidence unless they change the staff and the offense gets changed up. So, no, I don't think you're going to see that same team. It doesn't mean they can't win. It doesn't mean they can't be fairly successful, but, you know, you're not going to see that, oh, you can count on the offense for 31 points every week. That's just not going to happen.
All right, and Jeremy, your thoughts.
Yep, Chris hit the nail right on the head. Yeah, it's going to take a coaching staff change to make that happen. I do think that, I mean, looking at their schedule, I feel like there's a really good chance they can still that they'll make the playoffs, but that doesn't mean that offense is going to be back. McCarthy, I think Rodgers is done with McCarthy. I think Rodgers is done. I don't think he likes what they've been doing. I don't think he's happy with the offense. He's so pissed all the time. Like, what the heck happened? Where Rodgers used to have a lot of fun playing football. Now, between plays, we see Rodgers dropping F-bombs and yelling at people. He's never happy. He is never happy on the field. I don't think he likes what's going on, and I think he's done with McCarthy. So Rodgers and Bart, you're right. It is all about Rodgers. Rodgers needs to play at the top of his game. He needs to stop holding on to the ball too long. He needs to stop not throwing to guys just because he doesn't know them. He needs to stop looking for Jordy Nelson at all costs. He needs to stop throwing off his back foot. He needs to start stepping into throws, and he needs to start following through. He needs to play more consistent football for the Green Bay Packers to be what they were. I don't think he's going to do that with this staff. I just don't.
All right. We'll finish on this Twitter question because we don't want to keep Bart too long here. At Dylan35_52, if we get into the playoffs, how far do we go? And Bart, I will throw that question to you first.
Well, if we get into the playoffs, they're going to win the Super Bowl. They're either going to win the Super Bowl or not make the playoffs, right? I mean, I don't know, man. I was so built up on the hero's journey that McCarthy had talked with. And, you know, you saw the overtime loss in Seattle, obviously, and you saw what happened last year in Arizona. And I thought, okay, these are two struggling times, and the hero's journey sounds like some sort of epic trilogy, and we're going to get the conclusion here, and this will be the year that it all comes together. And, you know, I took the Packers to win the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season, but I'm always going to do that. As long as they're competitive, you always do that. I'm a homer. I'm a homer. And I own part of the team, guys. I'm an owner. But the biggest problem that I have in broadcasting and being critical about the Packers is that the one thing I do like, I don't cover the team as far as going there. I don't do, like, games. I don't go to practices. So I don't have any fear. Sometimes when you cover teams, you start to think, oh, if I say something, well, will this guy find out or whatever. With Green Bay, I don't care because I never see him. So I'm willing to be as open and honest as I want to be, and I think that I have been. There is a problem, though, where I also am a pretty big fan, and the Packers are a pretty big part of my life. I got married at Lambeau Field. There's a lot about the Packers. You know, the Favre game last year, the Bears game. You cry during that game because for stupid reasons, just seeing Brett Favre, you get transplanted back to throwing catch with your dad in the backyard. It's just that's how it is. Packers are ingrained in me. And to come and give a prediction and to even think for a minute that they could struggle in the playoffs, or I my heart won't let me do it. So I'm going to say they're going to miss the playoffs or win the Super Bowl because I can't get over the hump yet of just being a diehard Packer fan. It might be a weakness in my job, but I can't do it. If I had to put money on it, that's the question you should ask me, because I'm very careful with money. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're going to go 9-7 and miss in the last week of the season. Or they'll get in and then lose first week. So I almost started to make myself cry here. I don't know why I got so nostalgic just now. I'm so sorry.
I thought I should have been humming the Battle Hymn of the Republic there.
So. Look, like I said, it's been a tough week. There's a lot of emotions coming out. I didn't know I had. They're not going to make the playoffs. They suck.
That took a turn. I wasn't.
Wow. Holy cow.
I like it. Chris, your thoughts.
9-7, yeah.
If the Packers go to the playoffs, how far do they go, Chris?
I think that they're going to put us in this, like, purgatory where they make the playoffs, they go one and done, and it's just enough that they can't get rid of McCarthy, rinse, repeat, and we go through another year.
All right, Jeremy.
God, the torture. That is just torture. That is terrible. But unfortunately, I'm right there with you, man. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're barely going to squeak in, and they're going to go one and done, and then we're going to do it all again next year, and we're going to be watching the same thing. I'm right there with you, but gosh, I hate it so much.
It's all right. I'm usually wrong, so that's the only positive.
Oh, gosh, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're wrong, absolutely.
All right, so Chris and Jeremy and Bart all kind of saying it might be the song that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends. James, what do you think?
I think, honestly, the Packers are going to go as far as their best player will take them at this point. They're going to go as far as they can, as long as their best players are playing up to their abilities. So they're really going to go as far as Jeff Janis is willing to carry them on his back.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement. I honestly, they're either going to go one and done or they're going to miss in the last week, but it's going to be just enough where, you know, it'll be a reunion tour next year with, you know, and it's going to be the same old excuses, injuries, this and personnel, that, and it's a bunch of crap, but that's, I hope to everything holy that doesn't happen, but I've seen this movie before.
Alrighty. Well, on that note, Bart, we're going to let you go, but thank you so much for being on the show. It was fantastic having you here.
And gentlemen, it was a pleasure. Sorry if I got too sappy or offensive. I managed to teeter the line on both. It's a unique skill I have.
That was a nice bookend you had there, where you went from just taking half of our fan base and sending them off the internet to just poignant weeping of tears.
Well, I've been very quiet on Twitter and Facebook about a lot of my feelings here in 2016, so I got to burn it down somewhere.
Oh, sorry. Thanks for being down here.
I'm with you.
We are glad that can happen here, yeah.
Yes, before we let you go, is there anything you want to promote, Bart?
I do a radio show. It's called The Bart Winkler Show. 6 to 10 on The Fan. There's a guy named Chuck Freeman that is there time to time. Just refer to it to your friends as The Bart Winkler Show, and they'll know what you're talking about.
I was going to ask Chuck to be on the show next week, but he doesn't know what the internet is.
Oh, Chuck wouldn't figure this out.
There's no way.
No. Chuck's like the Jeff Janis of our show.
I was about to
he's
ask.
Also
and...
He's also dumb. I like Chuck.
Did you just say he's also dumb? That's great. I'm so...
What, do you have a big Chuck Freeman audience here too? That I do not believe.
That's fantastic. Gosh. Bart, thank you for coming on. I just want to say, just so you know, I am the starter of the Winkler wagon. I brought that on. You got the job that you got because I tweeted. I just want you to know that.
Hey, you said that out a long time ago, man. I'll never forget that.
Jeremy actually bought a wagon and painted Winkler wagon on it too.
I did, yeah.
There's a lot of room available on it, I can tell you that.
Hey, man, I'm still on it. I'm still on it. I'm pretty sure the rest of the guys on the show are on it. It's awesome that you came on. We really appreciate it.
Anytime you guys need anything.
Yeah, and if you could stick around, Bart, we're going to give you your initiation lashes during the break. And as for you listeners, stick around, and we'll be back with more voicemail and true false and all that good stuff right after this. Giving up because I know everything sucks, yeah. I know everything sucks, whoa. I know everything sucks, and this is going to be the last time you hear me complain. Bobo here, delighted once again to talk with you about our friends over at What's the Score, the Sports News Quiz. If you haven't listened to their show yet, they've got a slew of great panelists showcasing their sports knowledge. I'm talking TV personalities like WISN's Dan Needles, CBS 58's Kevin Holden, and WTMJ's Lance Allen. And radio people you may already be listening to in the Milwaukee area, people like Armin Sarian, Matt Pauly, and Doug Russell. What's the Score can be found on Spreaker.com, iHeartRadio, and of course their website, WTSSportsQuiz.com. You can also find out how to be a contestant on the show there. Tell them Titletown Sound sent you. That's WTSSportsQuiz.com.
Well, enough is enough, and it's time for a change!
Welcome back to Titletown Sound. Thanks again to Bart Winkler for joining us, because we've been coming apart on this show for quite a while. Oh, I slay me. Anyway, it is time now to hear what you guys have to say. It's time for the voicemails. Do we have a drop for voicemails yet?
Nope, not yet.
All right, well, we'll figure that out. Voicemails! Okay, that'll have to do. Our first voicemail... Our first voicemail comes all the way from Scotland, our friend Sam. And let's go ahead and play that.
Hey guys, Sam from Scotland. Mostly called to see if I could get the number to work. And also wonder what the hell is going on. Every single face so far has been awful. Awful.
Short and sweet and to the point. Jeremy, what do you think?
Everything has been awful. Sam, you sound fantastic. Not only did it work, but we heard you loud and clear. So please call again. We appreciate your phone call. But yeah, everything is awful.
Everything is awful. Chris, what do you think?
I think I was going to sing that if you hadn't, and I'm glad you did. I think this is an important time for Sam to call because it was, what, a while ago, a year ago? 2 years ago, I don't even remember, when the squirrel first appeared at Lambeau, and Sam promised he would whittle us a squirrel, despite not having any whittling experience. But we figured, you know, being from Scotland, maybe it was in his blood, I don't know. We still haven't received that squirrel. The squirrel was back Sunday, on the field. We still don't have our wooden squirrel.
That is called Sam, an omen, Sam.
Sam, whittle us a damn squirrel.
Yeah, we're waiting on that freaking squirrel. I've been checking the mail every day.
I cleared out a spot on the mantle.
We're lonely people, Sam. On, Sam. We need that whittled squirrel.
Rodents, we need them.
James, your thoughts?
I love his accent. It was dreamy, number one. It was like Sean Connery called in. It was fantastic. But I agree, Sam. That was awful. And thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it, especially considering I'm... Literally, I don't think that I'm exaggerating. I think it was like 3 a.m. there when he did that. So thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Yes. Thanks for calling in. And if I could make a request, next time you call in, if you could say the word bollocks, because that is
that would be nice.
A vastly underused word in the States, and I don't know why we don't use it more.
Haggis, too.
You're on your own on that one. Time for our second voicemail. Simply labeled on my little list here, not enough energy. Let's listen in.
Hi, I am very upset at our team, at our coach. I don't think we prepared them for the home game. When Holmgren was coach, opposing team used to fear to come to Lambeau Field. This is our home. Now, our team sleepwalks through the whole home game. The way we played last 5 minutes, if we had played with that energy and excitement, we would have won the game. To wake up for a sleepwalk in the last 5 minutes and expect to win the game is the new definition of insanity. And this is very upsetting. We have been losing at home. We have lost 2 games at home. This is unacceptable. Either the coach has to do something about it, get his team ready and excited to play at home, or we need a new coach. Thank you very much. Bye.
Jeremy, your thoughts?
I think it's hilarious that McCarthy said in his press conference that he felt like the energy was good, yet Aaron Rodgers calls out the energy. And not only that, these phone calls that we got on the voicemail, they came before the press conferences. So this is not the only call that mentions energy. We're going to hear another call. And it's hilarious to me that fans can see it, that Aaron Rodgers is calling it out in a press conference, and the oblivious Mike McCarthy steps to the podium to say, I thought the energy was fine.
I didn't know we had an impression.
Holy
coming.
Cow!
That was solid.
Why have you been hiding that?
Because I didn't know I could do it until this very moment.
Surprise.
God. Surprise to us all. So, you know, Mike McCarthy is just so oblivious, and even fans watching on television are like, the energy sucks. It sucked.
All right. Chris, your thoughts?
I think that the caller, first of all, two things. I love the diversity in our calls today. Which is amazing, and I mean that sincerely. Second of all, the caller hits on something that is so important. Lambeau Field was feared. You didn't win at Lambeau. Now, you know, once Favre got here, you didn't win at Lambeau. The Packers won. That was it. It was almost a foregone conclusion. And now, the mystique is gone. You don't come in here fearing things as much as you used to, because look, the Colts just won at Lambeau Field. We're not talking the Johnny Unitas Colts. We're talking this Colts team that is, they're just not good. So there is no intimidation anymore. And not only that, there's no intimidation at Lambeau, but like you said, there's just no, the team didn't get up for the game. There was no urgency. I felt like I was, I was watching guys that were just going through the motions, and that is frustrating.
All right, James, your thoughts.
I agree with everything Chris said. That was spot on, and that doesn't happen very often. So, yeah, I really think that the mystique of Lambeau Field started dwindling the Michael Vick playoff game.
Yep.
That was the day that it started to wither, and
you could almost feel it. That
you
day.
Really, you honestly, you could. You really, really could. It was like when he ran that first one in for like 60 yards or whatever it was. It was like, oh, this is okay. And then like everything changed, and since then, the whole Lambeau Field mystique has just dwindled, and it's sad. I wish we could get that back.
All right, let's move on to our final voicemail of the week, coming from Bill.
This is Bill Kristofko with my two cents on today's Packer-Colt game. We've seen that ad for whatever insurance company it is with Matthews and Rogers.
No one comes into this house without paying a price.
Well, that's officially now BS, as it applies to Packer opponents coming into Lambeau Field. Since November 15th of last year, the Packers have lost 5 games at Lambeau Field to such powerhouses as the Lions, Bears, and today the Colts. They also lost last year to the Vikings and this year to the Cowboys, and I believe they were favored in all 5 games. It is officially BS that Lambeau Field has a special fear put into the opponents coming into the stadium. This brings me to an even deeper conclusion, though, that I've had. Every week I become more convinced that the Packers are now in a downward spiral. I believe that the extreme form of draft and develop that Ted Thompson has espoused has run its course, and that teams have passed them by, teams that use judiciously veterans from other teams, veterans in their prime, like tonight, Kelechi Osemele, who was a road grader on the Oakland offensive line. Teams like New England, teams like even Minnesota, the hated Vikings, the Lions, these teams use free agency, Seattle, in an intelligent way to make their team better. Joyt Bell and Nile Davis do not qualify as such. I believe that without a change of some kind of leadership here, without some of these folks at the top being held accountable, the spiral is going to continue. I said that last week, and I very strongly believe that. And the more I see of this team, the less I like it, and the more I believe it is trending downward. My reaction to today's game was anger followed by disinterest. If they're not going to be interested, I'm not going to be interested. I thought that was one of the flattest performances, one of the most disinterested exhibitions of Packer football that I've seen in many a moon, dating back to 1957. The Colts, to their credit, went out there. They wanted that game. They played much harder, it seemed to me. The Packers just don't pass the eye test. They just seem like they and McCarthy are heading in opposite directions. The Packers look like they're leaderless, like they're rudderless, if they're not interested. Why should a fan be interested? Why in the world would you pay $100 and some to see that flat, uninspired, outcoached performance? It was really disheartening to watch that. But at the end, I wasn't sad they lost. I will have to say I'm disinterested and angry at the direction this whole franchise seems to be going. if the offense is decent, then the defense stinks or the special teams don't show up. Who's going to be held accountable for this? We can't say, oh, well, remember 2010, they made a late run. I don't see that happening with this team. I see other teams passing the Packers by, and it's not a pretty picture. So that's my two cents from today's game. I think it really fits into what we've been seeing this year, inability to put a full game together, inability to tie defense, offense, and special teams together. Montgomery runs the ball really well for two plays, then he disappears from the offense. You can't tell what they want to do. Do they want to run? Do they want to pass? Do they want to run five wides? What is it with this team? They're very hard to watch, and as I said, as a fan, my anger is turning into disinterest. Thank you for your time. Bye.
All right, James, I'll throw it to you first. Your thoughts?
That was the most eloquent way of taking everything that has been in my brain for the last year and verbalizing it. Holy mackerel. I have nothing I can say. That was perfect.
All right. Jeremy.
Yeah, pretty much. That was perfect, especially the Ty Montgomery part. I mean, what did he average on Sunday for yards? He had 7 carries for 53 yards. Like, dude was playing really well, and they just stopped using him. He hit it right on the head with pretty much everything that he said.
All right, and Chris, your thoughts?
So that was my dad, by the way. I don't know if you guys picked up on the last name, Christofko, not real common. so that's my dad, who is, you know, my 71-year-old dad, who is now, you know, has been a Packers fan his whole life. And this is the first time I'm listening to the call on purpose. I wanted to hear it first on the show. And I could not agree more. He's spot on. And I don't like to give my dad that much credit. So, but at the end of the game, I felt the same way. I wasn't even, like, upset that they lost. I was pissed off and a little disinterested. But I wasn't sad, you know. And that's how I kind of feel at the end of games a lot of times. But it's funny because he says, you know, they need to be more involved in free agency than Joik Bell. Well, they didn't even sign Joik Bell. That was, you know, that was the rumor as the game was ended that they were going to sign Joik Bell on Monday. They didn't even do that. Right. I think he's right.
No, you know,
unless there's a regime change, teams are going to pass the Packers by.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Teams are figuring out how to use free agency consistently and win. They're just figuring it out. And Ted Thompson he's never going to do it. It's just never going to happen. I love Ted Thompson. He's got to be one of the top two GMs in the league. I absolutely love and adore Ted Thompson. He is fantastic in the draft. He has been great for the Packers. But they have to use free agency. They just use it.
I feel like Thompson has not adjusted to the new rookie salary caps. The rookies that before that, draft and develop and very little free agency made a whole lot of sense.
Sure, yeah.
But now that players are really cheap for their first 4 years, and a player like Eddie Lacy, essentially you're gonna get your best years out of him on the cheap, he hasn't adapted to that. And other teams have. That you can take swings in free agency, and if you miss, it's not the end of the world because, oh, guess what? My quarterback only makes $400,000. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, obviously not on the Packers, but he's not adjusted to that rookie salary cap. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, those other higher paid positions are going to make less money in those first 4 years. I mean, it's how the Seahawks played so well and built the team that they built for a while,
knowing that Russell Wilson
was going to make little money. Yeah. Absolutely. We should have your dad call every week. We should have a like wisdom from Papa Christofko segment. It should just be every single week.
I honestly feel like your dad is my dad now too.
Yeah. Hey, his basement, no lie, is painted green and gold, and he lives in Maryland, so you know, it doesn't come as naturally there. But I will talk to him because I was more impressed than, you know, no offense, Dad, more impressed than I expected to be by that phone call. I mean, That was spot on. And if you listen to us, we were talking about the mystique of Lambeau was gone right before that call, and we had not listened to his call yet. But he's right. It's gone. There's no intimidation anymore.
Right.
I used to have some intelligent talk on this show. I'm not used to it. I joke. I come from love. It is time now to move on to my favorite segment of the show, True False.
I thought you were going to say Spread 'em, because I know you love the name of Spread 'em.
It's a fun name.
I'm now not talking to Jeremy either. Last week in True False, we had 6 questions. James got 4 right and 1 last week. Whoa. Good job, James. Woo-hoo. I got 3 out of 6 right. Thank you very much. Chris got 2. Jeremy only got 1 last week.
Oh, Jeremy.
No, that's all right.
So the current standings, for anyone wondering, real quickly, James, 22-20. Only one of us that's over 500 right now. 4 games behind is Jeremy and Chris. Our Jeremy and Chris, whatever, grammar, screw it. I know my role, so I'm in 4th place. And let's leave it at that.
I think Bart just passed you on the leaderboard.
Well, yeah, 0-0. Yeah, that's more or less. So here we go. Question number 1. Aaron Rodgers finishes with more total yards, passing and rushing, than Marcus Mariota. Rodgers averages 254.9 passing yards per game. Mariota, 243 even. Mariota does have an edge in rushing yards per game, not by much, 26.1 to 24.9. So again, Aaron Rodgers finishes with more total yards, that's passing and rushing combined, than Marcus Mariota. Jeremy, true or false?
I really hate your true or false questions. I really do.
Good.
I think I'm going to give the edge to Rodgers here. Coming out of last week in an embarrassing loss to the Colts, you would hope, and I say this, and I barely believe it myself, you would hope that they would step it up a little bit and, you know, figure out how to move the football. We've been waiting on that to happen for more than a year now, so I don't think that's really going to happen, but that's what I'm going on. So whatever the question was, I'm going with Rodgers.
Going with Rodgers, so true would be your answer, presumably. Chris, true or false to this question?
Until they prove otherwise, and my record isn't any good anyway, so I'll just choose false and go negative with every true-false answer until they put something together. False.
All right, James.
This is difficult. I'm going to say true only because Mariota has a hurt ankle, and I think that's going to hurt. That's going to damper his rushing.
Someone did research. Great.
No, I just know things.
That's practically cheating.
That's a lie. honestly, I saw on the bottom of a ESPN crawl today, Mariota will play against the Packers, and I went, I didn't know that was a thing, that he wasn't going to play, but. I think that if he can't run, then I don't know if he's going to be able to pass for more than Rodgers will put together combined. So, true.
All right. I am going to say false as well, and I'll join Chris on the negativity there. Number 2, Ty Montgomery rushes for at least 45 yards. Montgomery has 119 rushing yards on the season. In his last 3 games, keeping in mind he didn't play against Atlanta, he has averaged just under 40 yards per game. Tennessee allows 96.4 rushing yards per game total. That is 11th best in the league. So again, Ty Montgomery rushes for at least 45 yards. Jeremy, true or false?
He is going to rush for 40 yards on 3 carries, and they're only going to give him 3 opportunities. So, I'm kidding. I'm going to say true. I think that they feature him a little more this week. True.
All right, Chris.
False. Negative.
All right, James.
In the same way that Chris wants to ride it out until they prove otherwise, I'm going to also ride it out until they prove otherwise. And I don't think Jeremy was necessarily too far off the mark. I think he'll get 4 carries for 40 yards, and then they're going to forget he exists again. So, false.
All right. joining the dark side. I am going to say false as well. Number three, Jordy Nelson pulls in at least 100 yards receiving. Nelson has been the leading receiver in four of the Packers' eight games, and he averages 63.6 receiving yards per game, but he has had 94 each of the last 2 weeks. Tennessee allows an average of 260.4 passing yards per game. That is 20th best in the league, so they kind of suck that way. Jordy Nelson pulling in at least 100 yards receiving. Jeremy, true or false?
False. It's not going to happen.
Succinctly put, Chris.
Yeah, I'm going to say false as well. I'm riding the negative train.
All right, James.
False. There's no. I have no faith right now with them.
All right, I'm going to say false as well. Knowing Chris is going with all falses here, I was really tempted to pull that number down to like 5 yards receiving, just to see what he would say. Resisting that urge. Number four, DeMarco Murray gains at least 115 yards total. Murray is the third best rusher in the league right now with 89.7 rushing yards per game, and he averages just under 115 yards total per game, rushing and receiving. His lowest total production this year came in week 6 against, you would never guess this, Cleveland, where he recorded 65 yards rushing and 0 yards receiving. Packers, of course, are number 1 against the run, allowing 75.8 rushing yards per game, and they give up slightly more than that passing, of course. So, DeMarco Murray gains at least 115 total yards. Jeremy, true or false?
False, because I think the defensive line is going to match up to the attitude of Mike Daniels this week. He is PO'd beyond PO'd. So, I think the guys around him are going to play well. They're going to play at a high level. I just I don't see it for DeMarco Murray, and I have him in fantasy, so that's disappointing, but good at the same time.
All right, we got a false there. Chris, what do you say, true or false?
The only part of this team I still believe in is the run defense, so I am going to take a step off the negativity train and say false because of that.
All right, James.
Purely to keep my lead in the league standings, I'm gonna go with Chris and Jeremy because my heart doesn't think it's gonna happen, but I don't want to lose. So, false.
We'll see. I'm gonna say true, even if it's mostly passing yards. That's one aspect I'm really interested to see, I guess, in this game is just how much Murray can be a wrecking ball against this defense or not be a wrecking ball against this defense. Should be interesting to see. Question number 5. You know I gotta go here again. Aaron Ripkowski, now that you're woken up, gets at least 3 carries and or at least 15 total yards. The all-high and powerful Ripper got only 2 carries for 4 yards and 1 catch for 3 yards last week after picking up 34 yards on the ground against Atlanta. Again, that was the game that Ty Montgomery did not play. So Aaron Ripkowski gets at least 3 carries and or at least 15 total yards. Jeremy, true or false?
False, because regardless of the fact that he is playing at a Pro Bowl level, the Packers have decided to ignore the fact that Aaron Ripkowski is on this football team. We don't have a running back. We only have wide receivers. We could use Aaron Ripkowski. We decided not to. So, again, false. It ain't gonna happen.
Choosing to ignore their best offensive weapon, as it were, you say?
Yes, that's what they do. That's just what they do.
Fair enough. Chris, true or false?
I'm negative, except for with the Ripper. True.
There you go.
Wait, time out before we move on. Before we move on. Chris, how many yards will the Ripper have?
All of them.
All of them. Perfect answer.
All of them.
Thank you.
I will make a note of that.
360 yards.
James Ripkowski, at least 3 carries and or at least 15 total yards. True or false?
False. I like Jeremy said, they forget he exists. So, false.
All right. I, too, will say false, and I will be very happy to admit that I was wrong if it comes to that next week. So there we go. We got a little divisiveness this week. This is good. I'm pitting you all against each other, and I rather enjoy that. Time now, however, for us to come together and spread them.
Oh, God. God, Bobo, I hate you.
So. I'm gonna wet myself.
Oh God, I just. Oh, let's just stop.
I have tears. I'm crying.
Stop the podcast. It's over. Yes, I am crying as well. Chris is gonna wet himself. This is just trouble.
All right, hands on the hood and spread them.
So Chris leads with a 4-3-1 record and was the only one correct last week. James and I are 2-5-1. Jeremy is at 1-6-1. And as of Thursday night, Green Bay -3 is the spread according to Bovada.lv, which, Chris, can you explain what that means again? Just so we know what's right.
The Packers are favored on the road by 3, inexplicably.
Go figure. So, Green Bay or Tennessee? I forgot who they were playing for a second there. Wonder how that happened. Jeremy, which side are you taking on this?
I'm gonna go with Tennessee. I think they're gonna surprise the Packers. I actually think that Tennessee is gonna come up with a win, and just Packer Nation is just gonna have a terrible week. So, don't hate me. It's just how I feel. So, whatever that answer is, I'm going with the Titans.
All right. Chris, what say you?
I'm going to take the Titans again. A 3-point dog at home with a Packers team that's been underperforming. Yeah, that's it.
All right. James the Greek.
I'm taking Green Bay. I think they're going to get it done.
Ooh, optimistic. I'm going to go Tennessee as well. So, James, we'll hope you're right. And that brings us to the end of the show. And Jeremy, what would you like to wrap the show with?
Thank you, Bart Winkler, for coming onto the show. That was fantastic. Yes. It was good to get you on. Any time we have to push the episode back to Thursday or whatever day to get Bart Winkler on, please, we'll do it anytime. Thank you for listening to the show. We have a lot of fun making this show, as you can tell. There was tears, urine, and alcohol. So pretty much like a full night.
It's a regular week.
Just a regular weeknight. So thank you for listening to the show. Check out TitletownSoundoff.com. There are a lot of articles there every week. The breakdown is still coming this week. We got post-game articles for you to read. So check that out. There's also, we have another podcast on the website. You can listen to Tundra Talk right there at the website. So check that out. Rate us on iTunes, as we said in the break. If you could jump onto iTunes and rate us there. But not only that, we are on Google Play. We are on TuneIn Radio. I believe we're on Stitcher now. So just look for us pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, and we're probably there. Leave us a rating, listen to our show, and enjoy. Enjoy the chaos that is Titletown Sound. Bobo, do you have anything to say to end the show?
I would like to say several things. First of all, Bart Winkler is at WinksThinks on Twitter. And if you want to follow me for some inexplicable reason, I'm that... what is it? That's Our Bobo. I forgot my Twitter handle.
He doesn't tweet. He tweets so little, he forgot his own Twitter handle.
I forgot how the interwebs work. I'd also like to give a shout-out to Snarf from the Thundercats. who nobody else on this show seems to know who that is. And I would like to promote our new segment that we will introduce next week called Dueling McCarthy's, where Jeremy and I are going to do our Mike McCarthy impressions, and we will lose the rest of our fan base, those of us that are... And I'd also like to say, don't forget to pet your cat.
Sorry, I was too busy laughing again over Come Together and Spread Them. James, do you have anything to say before we end the show?
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, Janice is the key to all salvation, and I'm scared.
I'm scared. Chris, do you have anything to say to end the show?
Good night, President-elect Janice.
Gosh, there are many of us who wish that that was true. thank you so much for listening to the show. As Babbo said, his Twitter handle is at That's Our Babbo. I am at TTSO underscore Jeremy. Chris is at TTSO underscore Chris. And you can find James at JKSub20. Thank you for listening to the show. We'll bring you guys another show next week. Hopefully there will be, more of a celebration and some excitement. So thanks for listening.